Wonderland, Part 9. Rose. Rose sat at the breakfast table thinking about Wonderland. She tried to keep her mouth from smiling, but she could feel the corners twitching, just dying to grin at the very thought of it. She could hardly believe she had actually done it, ridden her bike across the highway, gone to Wonderland, gone inside and found Henry. Rose's insides were dancing with the giddiness of this amazing thing she had done. Maybe she was starting to become like Mavis, or at least a little bit like Mavis, sure of herself and brave. Well, sort of sure of herself and kind of brave. Rose couldn't wait to call Grace and tell her all about it. "What's so funny, Rose?" her mother asked, jolting Rose out of her happy Wonderland thoughts. "Nothing." Rose forced her starting to smile mouth to straighten out and concentrate on the French toast on her plate. "Brenda Putnam is organizing a mother-daughter book club for Magnolia Estates," her mother said. Rose swirled her fork around in the puddle of maple syrup on her plate and thunked her heels against the legs of her chairs. She stared at her plate, knowing her mother would have that familiar look of disapproval on her face. "Are Mavis and Miss Jeter going to join?" she asked. Her mother took a sip of grapefruit juice and said, "Well, of course not." Rose looked up. "Why not? The club is for Magnolia Estates, Rose." "But they live in Magnolia Estates." Her mother glared at the newspaper Mr. Tully held in front of his face, sending lasers of disapproval at his silence. Mr. Tully cleared his throat and turned to the new page of the paper. Mrs. Tully set her fork carefully on the edge of her plate, leaning forward, and whispered, "Please, Rose, Miss Jeter is in the kitchen and might hear you." Rose was surprised to feel that tiny seed of bravery she had been feeling earlier begin to grow. She sat up straight and said, "If it's a club of mothers and daughters who live in Magnolia Estates, then that means every mother and daughter." She glanced over at her father, who lowered the newspaper and winked at her. Rose winked back and then turned to her mother and said, "Right?" Rose felt herself smiling. She felt herself being confident and brave. She felt herself being like Mavis. But then this scene of amazing bravery was interrupted when Mr. Tully excused himself to grab his briefcase and head to work. Miss Jeter burst through the swinging doors from the kitchen to gather the breakfast dishes. Mrs. Tully sat red-faced in silence, and Rose swept her finger through the maple syrup on her plate, licked it off with a loud slurp, and headed outside to meet Mavis. Today they were going to tell Mr. Duffy that he could adopt Henry. Henry had been glad to see those two girls again, the wild-haired one and the quiet one. It was true that they had tricked him with that food and taken him to the gray-haired man. It was true that he had ended up back in Wonderland. But when those girls showed up, soothing him and petting him, Henry thought maybe they had come to take him away. But nope, they had left without him. Henry lay down in the corner of his kennel and put his nose on his paws, feeling very sad. Some of the dogs around him barked and howled, and some of them sat quietly looking bored. Before long, Roger came to take them outside to play in one of the grassy fenced areas beside the kennel, the one with the fence that was bent and loose. Now was Henry's chance. He would look for that loose place in the fence, and then he would crawl under it until he was free and on the other side. Henry's heart raced. Would that place in the fence still be there? Maybe someone had seen it and fixed it. Maybe he wouldn't be able to get out again. When Henry and the other dogs got into the grassy area, some of them began to run excitedly from one end to the other. Some of them began to play with one another, but Henry walked along the fence looking for the spot where he had escaped. He had to hurry. Their time in the play yard wasn't never very long. And then he found it, that place in the fence that was bent and loose, exactly the way it had been before. He nudged the fence with his nose and lifted it enough to squeeze under and out the other side, and then he ran and ran and ran, not looking back. Mavis, I think he's sleeping, Mavis said to Rose when they got to the gatehouse. Sure enough, Mr. Duffy was sitting in his chair with his feet on the desk and his cap pulled down over his eyes. His mouth was open, and he breathed in with a rumbling snore and exhaled with a whoosh. Mavis slowly opened the screen door and stepped inside, with Rose following close behind. "Should we wake him up?" she whispered. Rose nodded. Mavis went, "Ahem," and let the screen door slam shut with a bang. Mr. Duffy bolted straight up and looked wildly around. When he saw Rose and Mavis, he clutched his heart and said, "Jeeters, y'all trying to scare me to Kingdom coming back?" "Sorry," Rose said. "We have some great news," Mavis said. "Right, Rose?" Rose nodded. "Great news." Mr. Duffy put his feet on the floor and straightened his cap. "Lay it on me," he said. "I could use some great news." "Tell him, Rose," Mavis said, giving Rose a little nudge. "Well, Henry, you know that dog? Well, Mavis and I went to Wonderland, and we found out." "Henry's up for adoption," Mavis blurted out. "Can you believe that?" Mr. Duffy squinted at them. "Now what in the tarnation y'all talking about? Please tell me y'all did not go over there to that racetrack." He shook his head. "No, sirree, Bob, that is not the truth." He ducked his head and lifted his bushy gray eyebrows. "Miss Rose Tully?" Rose blushed and looked down at the floor. "I know what your mother would think about that," he said. "That is not like you one bit to go and do such a darn fool crazy thing." "But it turned out great, right, Rose?" Mavis said, grinning. Mr. Duffy snorted. "Two little old girls like y'all going over there to the racetrack." He poked a finger at Rose and said, "You can't keep trouble from coming, but you don't have to give it a chair to sit on." Rose looked like she was about to cry, staring down at the floor with her chin quivering. Mavis put her arm around Rose. "But she didn't get in trouble 'cause her mama doesn't know. And here's the best part." She pushed a tangle of hair out of her eyes. "You can adopt Henry." She gave Rose's shoulder a little jiggle and grinned at Mr. Duffy. Then the room got so quiet that Mavis could hear some kids hollering, "Not it," somewhere up the street. "Think fast," Mavis told herself. Her plan was almost working. Now was her chance. So Mavis did what she knew how to do best. She jumped right in and tried to make things right. She told Mr. Duffy about Wonderland and how some lady had showed them the way to the cinder block building, how that man named Roger that had come get Henry, that he was only 4 years old, but that was too old to race, so he was ready to be adopted. "And," Mavis added, "he even told us what those ear tattoos mean." Mr. Duffy sat there at his desk, not saying a word, while Mavis explained the tattoos. "The one on his left ear is his identification number with the National Greyhound Association," she said, "and the one on his right ear identifies exactly which puppy he is in his litter. So every dog has different numbers. How about that?" Mr. Duffy took his cap off and scratched his head. "Guess you're never too old to learn something new," he said. "And," Mavis went on, "Henry would be perfect for you. He's smart and sweet," and Mr. Duffy held up a hand and said, "Whoa, now, Missy, that dog don't need an old geezer like me. I know I sound like my heart's a thumping gizzard, but..." "A what?" Mavis said. Mr. Duffy chuckled. "Thumping gizzard means they must think I'm cold-hearted, and..." "I don't," Rose chimed in. "Me either," Mavis said. "Well, anyway," Mr. Duffy continued, "I'm not looking for another dog, so you two schemers can stop right here and now, and that's final." Mavis looked at Rose, and Rose looked at Mavis, and they both looked at Mr. Duffy, who repeated, "Final." And then an appliance repair truck pulled up to the gatehouse, and Mr. Duffy said, "Now y'all let me get back to work before one of those old biddies starts filing complaints my way." So Rose and Mavis headed back up the street toward the Tullys' house. When they reached the driveway, Mavis slapped a hand on Rose's shoulder and said, "Don't worry, I will not give up. I will come up with Plan B. I'm really good at that." Rose sat on Grace's window seat feeling bad. Mr. Duffy had scolded her for going to Wonderland. He had never scolded her before. Of course, she had never done anything like that, going to Wonderland before. Riding her bike across that highway she wasn't even allowed to go near, and going inside that racetrack where her Uncle AJ went, making her mother so aggravated with him. She had hoped maybe Mr. Duffy would think she was brave and adventurous like Mavis, but instead he had said she had given trouble a chair to sit on. Rose lay down on the window seat and rested her head on the heart-shaped pillow that Grace had made in home economics class in high school. It still had the faint scent of lavender talcum powder Grace loved so much. Rose wished Mr. Duffy wouldn't talk about being an old geezer, and that he wouldn't say his heart was thumping gizzard. She wished Mavis's plan had worked, that Mr. Duffy would adopt Henry and be happy again, and not fall asleep in the gatehouse or let magazine salespersons into the Magnolia Estates. But Mavis's plan had not worked. Rose hoped more than anything that Mavis really was good at coming up with a plan B. Mavis. Rose said there's going to be a mother-daughter book club, and you and I can be in it, Mavis said. Her mother didn't answer. She didn't open her eyes. She sat in the chair in the corner of the apartment with her feet up on the end of the bed and her head on a pillow. "Mama," Mavis said. No answer. "Mama," Mavis yelled. Her mother opened her eyes. "Seriously, May," she said. "Seriously?" She lifted her feet with a grunt and dropped them onto the floor like they were sacks of rocks. Then she leaned forward with her hands on her knees and said, "You're kidding me, right?" "No," Mavis said, "I'm not kidding." "A mother-daughter book club?" Mavis nodded. Her mother dropped back in her chair and shook her head. "Mavis," she said, "mother-daughter book clubs are for mothers and daughters who eat cold soup and use a dang spoon for their salt instead of a salt shaker like the rest of the world. Mother-daughter book clubs are for mothers who need clean sheets every other day and daughters who belong to the junior garden club." She leaned forward again and jabbed a finger in Mavis's direction. "Mother-daughter book clubs are not for you and me." Mavis felt angry. Anger working its way up from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head. "Why do you have to be so mad about everything every minute of the day?" she hollered. "Every time we move somewhere new, you say you're going to like it better, but you never do. You just have something new to gripe about." Mavis stalked back to the door. "Well, I like it here, and Rose is my best friend," she said, yanking the screen door open and stepping out onto the little porch. "And she does not belong to the Junior Garden Club," she yelled through the door before stomping down the steps. Maybe her mother thought they hadn't been good enough for that stupid book club, but Rose didn't think so because she had invited them. Mavis had a bad feeling about her mother and Mrs. Tully. It seemed like all they did was argue. It seemed like Mrs. Tully thought her mother did everything wrong, and it seemed like all her mother ever did was complain about Mrs. Tully. Mavis got Rose's skateboard out of the garage and went around front to the driveway. She wasn't allowed to ride the skateboard on the driveway anymore. Mrs. Tully didn't like it. But the Tullys weren't home. They were going to some fancy restaurant over in Mobile. Rose had told her it would be boring, and she wished she could stay home with Mavis. "Really?" Mavis said. Rose had looked surprised and said a very un-Rose-like thing. "Well, duh," she said, holding out her palm so they could do their special handshake. Slapping, snapping, and fist bumping. Now Mavis rode the skateboard up and down the driveway, thinking. She felt more determined than ever to fix things for Mr. Duffy. She had promised Rose that she would come up with Plan B, but so far she hadn't. How could she convince Mr. Duffy that he needed a dog and Henry needed a home? She had been so certain she could do it, but now it seemed harder than she thought it would be. Maybe Mr. Duffy's heart really was a thumping gizzard after all. Henry. When Henry got out of the fenced yard, he'd run as fast from Wonderland as he could get. He ran up dirt roads and through fields. He darted across the busy highway and raced through a trailer park. He hurried across parking lots and dashed into woods behind a shopping center. Then he trotted deeper and deeper into the woods, jumping over moss-covered logs and clusters of bramble bushes and wild strawberries. Squirrels scurried out of his way, and birds fluttered wildly out of the trees as he passed. When he was far enough into the woods, he had stopped, panting. Then he slept a long, deep sleep. For two more days, Henry ran along roads and darted along trees. He crossed fields and jumped across gullies. He followed paths and wandered along the side of narrow, twisting lanes. He ate berries and bugs and even a tiny frog. Once he had been lucky enough to find a discarded bag on the side of the road with half a cheese sandwich and an apple core. He even turned over a garbage can here and there, gobbling up moldy bread, some fried chicken skin, and a few pieces of donuts. He licked tuna clinging to the sides of a slightly rusted can and gnawed on a moldy pork chop bone. When he came upon a narrow creek winding through the woods, he drank and drank and drank, the cool water tasting finer than any he had ever had before. Now he lay down under the tree where the ground was soft with pine needles and rotting leaves, and he fell asleep. He slept until the hooting of an owl and the creaking of frogs woke him up. It was dark. The darkest dark that Henry had ever known. Every now and then fireflies twinkled in the distance. Henry felt lonely and scared and hungry. Maybe he had made a mistake. Maybe he should go back to Wonderland. Mavis. Rose and Mavis sat on the log in the vacant lot talking about Plan B. Well, actually it was Rose who was talking about Plan B. So, Rose said, what's Plan B? I'm not sure yet, Mavis said, but I thought you were going to come up with Plan B. I am. Oh, Rose wiped the red dirt off her shorts. I just thought you would come up with it by now. It takes time to think of a good Plan B. Mavis was starting to feel a little annoyed. Then Rose didn't say anything, and Mavis started to feel a lot annoyed. Maybe you can come up with Plan B, she said. I'm the one that's been doing all the thinking. But I'm not the one who said I was going to come up with Plan B, Rose said. Well, didn't that beat all? Here Mavis had been trying so hard to fix things for Rose and Mr. Duffy. I've been trying to be a good best friend, she said, kicking at a cluster of Queen Anne's lace beside the log. If you'd rather have a different best friend, go ahead. Maybe one of those girls from the swim team and y'all can be in the mother and daughter book club together. Then Mavis sat there in a steamy silence with her arms crossed and her lips clamped tight. A dragonfly flitted among the wildflowers in front of them. Mavis kicked at the flowers, making the dragonfly dart away and disappear across the vacant lot. Finally, Rose broke the silence. I wouldn't rather have a different best friend, she said. Mavis kept her arms crossed and her lips clamped tight. Silence, silence, silence. Then Rose said, aren't you worried about Mr. Duffy? Mavis shrugged, I guess. What do you mean? I mean, yes, I'm worried about him, but because I know you're worried about him." And then, quite unexpectedly, that old snake, Mr. Jealousy, showed up and made Mavis say, "All you and Mr. Duffy care about is each other. What about me? Doesn't anybody care about me?" Uh-oh, Mavis hadn't meant to say that, but it was too late. Rosa's face turned a little red, and she said, "Why are you being so mean?" Then the next thing you know, Rose and Mavis were arguing. Mavis reminded Rose that she was the one coming up with the ideas to fix things with Mr. Duffy. Rose pointed out that she had broken every rule in the Tully rule book to go along with all of Mavis's crazy ideas. Mavis said Rose should be glad to have such a fun thing to do as going to Wonderland. Rose said she thought maybe they were being too hasty trying to get a dog for Mr. Duffy, especially when he didn't even want one. On and on, back and forth, until finally Mavis stood up and said, "Fine." Rose stayed seated on the log and said, "Fine." And that was that. Uh-oh. Poor girls. They're frustrated. I guess I'll see you later. Night.